to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
Hello, Brains. I hope you're excited to be here. I'm excited to have you. I just love that introduction. Every time I hear it, I just get so excited because I know that I'm about to beam into you and your brain. So check this out. Today is going to be a great, great interview, but in addition to that, it's going to be a learning opportunity. It's going to be a teachable moment because I need to pour into you and I need to see what grows organically from that. That is the reason why I do what I do. And I podcast. It's not just to hear myself talk. It's not just to jaw jack. It's to actually pour into people and give them a little bit of everything, everything that I know and other big brains that I know. So today is no different. This one is going to be about sales and marketing and outsourcing and winning and getting paid. We've got Cindy Padilla. She says that she is the queen of making things happen, right? I'm a challenger on that. And she is the co-captain of the ship working alongside her husband, Jim. Cindy is a master team builder and motivator, and after a successful career in retail store leadership, she has turned her attention to her passion, developing teams. Cindy is committed to creating a culture of commitment, results, and impeccable service. Cindy's passion and expertise are contagious, and she's so funny. The energy that she brings to launching and sales is undeniable. Cindy is smart, too. She has a bachelor's degree in business management and a master's degree in organizational leadership. I gave you guys all a test. If not, you didn't get it, you can go back and check it on Facebook. 10 questions so we can really kind of gauge where you are in your sales, delivery, and closing ability. We want to bring her to the mic right now. Because I can't wait for this. This is going to be fun, fun, fun. How you doing, Cindy Padilla?
I am very well, April Mahoney, and thrilled to be here.
Well, I'm so glad to have you because, you know, I ask people to do sales and marketing as sport. I just really like it because every day we are being sold. People say, oh, I don't want to be sold. Oh, you're being sold or you're selling something, be it your time, your attention, your passion, your book, your product, your used car, you know. It's relationship capital. We want to focus on that today. But before we get started, how did you find this niche? How did you find this niche market for sales? What drives you and makes you love it?
Wow. Well, thank you. I do believe, to your point, everybody's a salesperson. I mean, getting your husband to take the trash out and your kids to brush your teeth and everybody out of the house on time, like that's sales. That's sales and leadership. And so those are two of my passions. And, you know, this business model literally was handed to us by one of our business mentors. Jim and I were doing a different sort of business model and being successful at it. And he came to us and said, you need to switch your niche. There are people in the industry. There are major players, seven-figure business owners, leaders, experts, thought leaders that need and want sales teams. They want someone to own sales for them, lead sales teams, do sales for them. And that's how it was born. We literally spent an afternoon, came up with our new what do you do statement, our little elevator pitch, went to a beautiful high-powered mastermind about a week after that. And 2 weeks after that, we had our first major client with Bill Barron, and we were the sales team for a $1.6 million launch. And it was craziness. We were like the bad news bears in a Google Doc.
I know. And how does that feel? You could just pick yourself up with a poopy scooper when you get that first close and that first deal, don't you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So it's been a wild ride. We're on year five, and we have served amazing clients, and we do all things sales. We support sales strategy, online sales, launch sales, backroom live event sales. So when you reached out, April, and said, we want to talk sales, I'm like, let's do this. Let's do this.
This is going to be great. So your business is called Gain the Edge Now. Tell them about your business model, My Brains. Tell them a little bit about how you work that out.
Yeah, so our primary way that we serve our clients is we literally are and become their sales division. So they come on board, we get to know them. We have a team of salespeople. We have a network of over, 150 salespeople that we can reach out to and bring into our into campaigns, because we have great systems and structures. And so when the client comes on board, we get to know them, and I literally get to be the matchmaker and just put together an amazing team for that client that will seamlessly be a brand representation in those sales conversations, whether it is on a phone, in the back of a room, or through live chat. There's different technologies that we also use. So that's what we do. We become the sales division for companies.
What range are you looking at? You know, is this a mid-range company? Because, the average person that's, maybe have an employee base of 3 or 4 may not be able to really maximize from yours. So what size company are you looking for to match up with?
Yeah, great point. And I love how you word that word maximize. I love the word optimize, because we are bringing two pretty powerful companies together to integrate and really, do something and from the sales perspective in their company. So it does require, at least, over 7 figures. We have some clients in the $30 million range, and we have some clients that are just clipping at their first million, their $1.5 million. But they also have a really strong infrastructure. They have good systems. They have team from an operational perspective. And the other thing they have is they really value sales. Like, they love sales. They just, it isn't the best use of their time or, even their internal company resources to continue to attract, retain, and develop the sales team so that it can continue to grow revenue.
Right. I just don't like the word sales. It just seems so solicitive. Is that a word?
Yeah.
I like transactions. Yeah. I like the transaction, because it needs to be a win-win. You've got to create, just because I am positioning or offering you something, to me, it's got to be a warm fuzzy inside. I've got to get some access. I've got to get a contact. I've got to make some money. I got to get a smile. It's got to be a win-win. And people always use that term. But you don't determine my win. I determine my win, and you determine your win. That is where we come to the negotiation, right? So we want to go into a little bit about the art of selling. You and I both come from retail. Girl, there is no better education in sales than to be in retail, okay? All right?
That's the truth.
It's everything from merchandising to stocking to, do you need a hat? Oh, great. Well, these gloves would look great with it. Now, here, let's put on some lipstick. It's the upsell. It's all of that. It's the total package. Mm-hmm. So what I did was I created 10 questions, and we're just going to bop in and out of those and see how we agree and come to some synergy on what great basic sales techniques are. Because I was in cosmetics and retail for a long time, and you were in retail leadership. Do you agree? Isn't that a great place to start?
I give thanks every day for my retail 20-plus years in retail leadership and executive leadership. There was no better learning ground for sales. And you mentioned, from the client side, right, that customer service side. I also see there was huge sales when I, as a leader, am inspiring and getting results from a bunch of part-time kids from the age of 16 to 21. Really don't care about, how my sales floor looks, but I sold them. I sold them on why we do a really great job here, why we deliver impeccable service, why we make the store look great every day, why you show up ready to be a part of a great team. That was serious sales.
Yeah, and my first sales experience was at the Gap. And the Gap had these big bins, and you had to color coordinate everything, and it had to be lined up, and them Levi's had to be straight. But let me tell you, it was the greatest sales experience. So let's talk about delivering on an opportunity. so many people are, well, you know, I don't know how to make the ask. I don't know how to do this. I'm embarrassed. I'm shy. What's your strategy, and then I'll share mine, on how do you really present an opportunity?
Sure. So the thing that our tagline here at Gain That Edge is, it's not about what you're saying in the sales conversation. It's who you're being in that sales conversation. And I think where most business owners and women in particular get really flubbed up when it comes to that time of the offer is because that's what they go into that conversation thinking about. They go into that conversation to make a sale. And
right.
You don't even know that person on the other end of the line. You have no idea what they're coming to the phone, what their morning was like, what their day was like, what their finances are, what their needs are. You don't even know if you want to work with them.
Right, right.
And if you even have anything that would solve their problem. So I think that's the number one challenge that I see. And when you're going into, and I listen to a lot of sales calls, like I listen to my team's calls so they can make really smart pivots and give really constructive, real coaching and make a movement. But the challenge is, again, if you're going in for that sale, then the focus tends to be on what you as a salesperson are going to say next.
Right, right. And my position on that is that, you know, it is an opportunity. It's an exchange of information. Don't just go in there running your mouth, just talking, trying to sell someone. See if there's a need. Let them color in their white space. Try to figure out the gap. You know, try to hear what they're saying and see what you have and how you can deliver it in such a way that it's an opportunity that they find value in it. Let's talk about question number two. Do you know how to present value to a client or customer and in return benefit yourself from that interaction? So many people don't know what value is. Can you give us a definition of what value is?
Yeah. Value is the perception and the ability for the person you're talking to receive and understand the value from their perspective, how you are solving their problem, not how you think you're going to solve their problem and what your program is all about. Right now I'm in another Facebook group, and it happens to be a bunch of VAs. And they're highly valuable, and they're really skilled, and they've got a lot of, you know, expertise. But what I keep hearing in this group is, you know, well, they're talking about their value, but, well, I charge $18 an hour, or I charge $57 an hour, or I charge $100 an hour. I'd pay you $100 an hour in a heartbeat if what you offered solved amazing problems in my business and you made my business 10 times better. Like, I don't care how much. It's about the value and the problem you solve. And we get stuck on sharing all the details of our packages and really – when we talk about dollar per hour, nobody wants to pay you for your time. They want to pay you for a result.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. We totally agree on that. Now, let's talk about the upsell. You know, let me tell you how the guy got me. Here I go to the Mercedes dealers. I wasn't buying no Mercedes, or at least I didn't think I was buying a Mercedes. I got in there. He put the top down, he put that seat cooler on, he turned on some jazz and turned the volume up, and he talked to me. He said, "Oh, Mrs. Mahoney, can't you just see yourself with your afro blowing in the wind, driving down PCH and feeling the splash of the ocean? Can't you smell the leather? Oh, baby, I was in that office as quick as I could be." Now, look, I was looking for a Toyota and ended up in the Mercedes dealer. Tell my people how to upsell, because it's value to the upsell. If you have something and you have a package, be sure to include that, because you never know what somebody wants until you offer it to them. Is that correct, Cindy?
Absolutely. And I love what he did is he offered you an experience. And we make decisions based on emotions. We'll justify with our mind, but we really do make decisions based on how we're feeling and our emotions. And I love when you talk about really making that big offer, making that big ask, because in that bigger program is bigger transformation, is bigger opportunities for your clients and you to step into. And so it's really standing in that and making some bold promises. Like, he made some bold promises to you when he was sharing that experience. And
oh, he did, and I was
He's
there.
Not going to be a rocking around making sure that happens for you, but he believes in that so greatly. And same with us in a sales conversation and really making that bold ask of, you know, a $40,000 package. I mean,
right.
That's great. Again, the money doesn't make a difference. It's what is the transformation, what problem is it solving? How is my life better? How is my family, my finances, my business?
But it's also the art of negotiation, Brains. Don't leave money on the table. Don't leave money on the table. If somebody, if you can't get 40 and you can get, you know, 25.9, take it. You know, if you want, if you have that flexibility, you know, because you have to work with people too. And that builds a relationship. That creates trust. That shows flexibility. Believe in trust. That'll be a long-time customer. They're going to come back. Teach us how to monetize.
Yeah.
Monetization is something that entrepreneurs have a big problem with. They don't know what to charge and how to charge. And again, you have to look at your skill, what you're bringing to the table, how much time, how much education you have into it, how much experience you have with a particular product, the long-term relationship and commitment that you want to build with this. Do you want to move volume, which you would probably go at a lower price point, or do you want to maximize and have maybe fewer clients but get that top dollar? How can you give us some suggestions on maybe the smaller businesses? How do people monetize their business?
This is so great. We actually just did this for ourselves. I think where we see so many business owners failing to monetize and create a revenue stream, and they fail to recognize what they do really well right now in their business. And so it could be as simple, like an example for us is, to your point earlier, there's a certain threshold where people can work with us at that level where we are the done-for-you sales division. And so we just started thinking about it, like, well, how else can we serve other clients who are at that point? They want to scale their business. They want to make that first entry point and bring on a salesperson or two. And we realized, like, that's what we do really well, like, in our sleep. We attract top talent. So that's what we created. We created a program for an entrepreneur in the six-figure range, and we are teaching them our proven strategy on how to bring in a salesperson. We're also really good at onboarding talent. Like, we have systems so that people come into our world. Before we start throwing leads at them or giving them assignments and work, we want to make sure that it's a great match and they feel really welcome and they have all the resources to be successful. So that's like an onboarding tool. And so people have different things they do really well in their business or in their life, and it's the understanding that not everybody does it as well as you do. And I think that's a mistake that people make. When you're really good at something, it just comes naturally. You assume everybody else is too.
Right.
And it's not the truth.
Right. And then
there's
too,
the money left on the table.
Right. And what you can do is you can Google anything on the planet. Go out and see what other people in the industry are doing. Have a benchmark. And then you can add and subtract from there. Have an informational interview with someone, a great person like Cindy Padilla. Maybe call her and get a consultation. So what do you think the valuation of my product or my service? Find a mentor. Find a coach. All of those people in your life should be able to help you learn how to monetize and put a dollar amount on your product or service. I want to ask you question number five. I love this one. Can you get a no and see it as on? It's only two letters. Either it's N-O, no, not at this time, I'm not ready, this isn't a good fit, or do you see that as an opportunity, as an O-N, on to the next one, or on and popping? Can you take a no, Cindy, and turn it into an on?
Yeah, you know what I love about a no is it shows me that that person can at least make a decision.
Right.
And that's a rarity, actually, in our world. People really struggle to make decisions. So a no, at least now I got a starting point. Great. So are you, to your point, are you a no or are you no not right now? Are you a no because they tell me why you're a no? And maybe I didn't explain something effectively to you. Maybe you didn't receive the value that I meant to deliver and right. and that I know that, you know, this offer is. So it's just a point of entry. It's a point to get really curious. I think the other challenge is people take no and they take it personally and they take no and they just walk away. And it's like, no, it's just people are busy. People are distracted.
Right.
And you have to stay top of mind that fortune is in the follow-up and there's really, you know, value-based ways to follow up and keep being present in people's lives.
Right. And that's question number six. Brains, ask yourself, how is your relationship management and your follow-up skills? Now, let me tell you something. I am the queen of networking, okay? I can go in a room of 1,000 people and clean it like a Swiffer. But I'm looking for the
Swiffer.
Right mix. Absolutely. I'm looking for the right mix. And then I'm not going to collect everybody's business cards like tokens. I may get them, but then I look through them and I put a priority on what, you know, do I really want to follow up with this person, that person? And then the follow-up immediately is already what we call in sales a warm lead. You've had the cold call. You've had the coffee. You've had the tea. You've had the little small chit-chat. Now it's time to get down to business, and that is with the follow-up. So many people do not follow up. It's awful.
Mm-mm.
Tell us some of your strategies for keys to following up, the keys to success on that.
Yeah, you know, and it is, you know, that sales call, just to preface that, is that sales call, like that's the final piece, you know, in bringing in the money and closing the sale. But gosh, so much more goes into that. Some of the clients we have and the partnerships that we have, like Jim and I have spent 3-4 years cultivating relationships, not asking for anything, just being present, you know, sharing resources, staying connected. And then lo and behold, 36 months later, there's, you know, a great opportunity. And so it's seeing that and follow up. There are studies that show, you know, especially now in this age, it's 9 to 11 times before someone says yes. Like, there's 11 different touch points. So it's like, is your email,
it used to be
is your
three.
Facebook Messenger. Yeah. There
right, it used to be three.
You
got,
but
you
right
now,
times,
it's so
distracted.
You should be able to close.
Mm-hmm. It's so much. And so you have to be willing to stay the course, to stay in the game. It's not a no until it's like, stop calling me, I'm a hell no.
Right. And then at that point,
they aren't going to get there.
Yeah, and then at that point, you can feel people's energy. And if they're really resistant to what you're doing, it's not going to create a good business relationship. So back the hell off. That's okay, too.
Right.
Because when you do that, you're opening the floodgates for somebody else
resource.
To step through. Right.
Yeah, exactly. Offer another resource. Like, I had a woman get on the phone with me. I've known her off and on for a few years in different masterminds. I knew she probably wasn't ready to step into some of the programs we have, but still wanted to reach out. Had a great call. I kind of tweaked some of her marketing, just gave her, you know, a session. I actually offered her a program of one of my colleagues that I thought was a better fit. It'll come back. It'll come back.
Oh, yeah.
A year from now, two years from now, she's going to bring me a referral or she'll be ready to work with us.
Right. And it can come back in so many ways. You know, sometimes brains, I always tell you, money can be a deterrent. Okay, contacts. Me and Cindy are connected at the sales hip now, you know. contacts, resources. I've got friends that, you know, say, hey, you want to go sailing? I don't need a yacht. I go on theirs. You know, the contacts, the people that are going to, you know, the people that are going to tell people. And then there's going to be people that bring you money. And if they bring you money, show them that you appreciate that. Reciprocate. Get them a gift card. Take them out to dinner. You know, give a referral fee, whatever, because they're putting money in your pocket. So we talked a little bit already about closing the deal. But tell us about that. I need us to be able to close a deal. See, there's a lot of people out there jawjacking, Cindy, you know, like I do. And they're talking all this big stuff, but they're not making no money. They're at every networking meeting. They're at every luncheon. They're this, that. But they are not bringing in any dollars and cents. Tell us about the close. How do we close a deal?
You have to make an offer. I think that's the biggest challenge. Again, listening to sales calls, you know, not so much on my own team, but listening to other people's calls, you know, sometimes I just, they're painful because people will do anything to circumvent and circle around the ask, the offer.
Right.
It's understanding that people got on the phone with you because they have a problem. And it's your job, it's your opportunity to search it out and see if you are the solution, to offer, to make that ask.
Right.
And it comes with being very clear and confident in who you are and what you stand for and what you're willing to do for this person in helping to solve their problem. But you have to make the ask.
Right. Because a closed mouth does not get fed, brains. They stay hungry.
You're so awesome.
Let's talk about some relationship capital, because that is key. You know, again, you have to make that investment. A lot of times you can do things, and it's not for money. I'm a little parsnickety. Okay, so say, for example, if I volunteer on a committee, I volunteer hours. I don't volunteer my whole 6 months. I'm going to give you 80 hard hours, 40 hard hours, because it's a return on investment for me, too. I'm not drained by what I'm just giving. But the relationship is ongoing, as you said, sending a card, having a conversation. It could be 2 years down the line, 3 years down the line. Don't you feel the relationship capital as is equally as valuable as money?
More so. Oh, my gosh. You know, we grew our business to seven figures in 2 years. No website,
woo,
no business cards, all relationships. To this point, we have done zero marketing. What we do is we invest in relationships. And even like coming on here, you know, April, you and I kind of played tag for a few months.
And
I researched you and you researched me. Like, there has to be resonance. There has to be a mutual respect and honor and a willingness. Like, yeah, I want to serve you. I want to serve your community. And that's where the gold is. You know, like, we work on a lot of launches. And so there's a lot of players, right? There's copywriters, there's marketers, there's operations manager, project managers. You know, we just finished a launch and we sent, you know, chocolate-covered strawberries to the copywriters. They're not even on my team. They're on the team of my client. But you know what? I appreciate what they did. One, they were referral-based, and two, they wrote some great copy.
Right. I did something way out one time, too, you know, because that's how I am. I'm on the edge. So I go for an interview, and I'm selling myself. And that was one of the questions. They said, tell us, what is one of the toughest sales jobs that you'd had to close on? I said, selling myself to you and getting you to buy into me.
Mm.
You know, for me to come in on your team and to work with your corporation. So I took it a step further. After the interview, I go and I get a cheesecake, and I cut out a slice. And I deliver the cheesecake with a note, and it says, the only piece that is missing is me. Oh, yes. I got the job, baby. Oh, yes, I got that. I mean, that was classic.
Yeah.
Now, everybody's not going to be able to work that, but I did, and I was bold because I wanted it. And I asked for the job. So many people do not make the ask. It's not a big deal. If people say no, sit with that. That's okay. Then you have to sit back and strategize how you're going to do better. This is why question number 9 is so critical. Why are people still broke, dumbfounded, and wondering why? What do you think?
Because we, what I see is, again, it's all about the distraction out there. It's all about the comparison. It's about the ego-based marketing. And like this woman that I spoke to last week, and I was, you know, offering assistance, and she started talking about, well, maybe I should do, she's got a better looking website than I do. So she already invested a lot of money. She's got this great looking website, but she's not making any money. And then she's talking about, well, maybe I should look at webinars. I'm like, no, your only focus right now is to generate some revenue.
Right.
So let's just clean up your messaging. Get it really tight, like, who specifically are you talking to, and then just speak the heck out of that message.
And exactly.
Don't go and make this more complicated and more
right.
At this point, it is all about revenue generation, which means you are, like you said, you're in rooms, and pick the right rooms. You know, not every, you don't need to be everywhere. Where are your people? Who do you want to associate with? Who do you
right.
want to have as alliances and partners? And that's key too. When you're looking and going out and you're networking and you're speaking, it isn't about making the sale. It's about creating the partnerships and the alliances. That's where the sustainability
right.
and the long play in growing your business is.
Absolutely, because they will take you along with them. And it's politics. It's really
mm-hmm.
politics. It's not leaving anything on the table. It's be bipartisan. It's be flexible. It's be understanding. Shoot. You know, it's crazy. And question number 10, what would you tell my brains if they are ready to level up and scale up what they're doing and they're already winning?
So what we talk about in our company, Great Transition, is everything that we do in our company is about making more sales without literally getting better at selling. And so that lends itself to scale, right? So if you hire
right.
a salesperson, you're going to make more sales, and you personally didn't have to go get better at selling. If you have a better follow-up sequence, then you're going to make more sales without getting better at selling. It's about leveraging where in your business are your leverage points where you can generate more revenue, and it doesn't include you specifically turning the wheels and being on 10 more conversations. Maybe that means it's more, you know, group speaking. You're not speaking one-on-one. You're speaking one-to-many. Maybe it's changing your business model. You know, everybody starts in, for the most part, you know, on that one-on-one basis, one-on-one service. If you want to scale, there's only so many hours and only so many days of the week where you can serve. So how are you going to scale that model?
Right.
In
right.
a lot of different ways.
Yeah,
so
you got to elevate it. And don't think small, brains. I need you to just
mm-hmm.
go to your zenith point. Just think out into the universe. You have no idea how many people there are all over the world. You're still thinking of your small little Facebook group or your little networking group. We are talking about being omnipresent on the planet, all over the world. It's just a point
mm-hmm.
and a click. People can PayPal you from anywhere in the world. Trust me, I know.
Yeah, the other great point is you have to take the steps before you're ready.
Right.
If you wait till you're ready, then you're late. You have to hire before you're ready. Right now, we're expanding radically right now. We're bringing on like 4 people in the next month. That's a little scary. So Jim and I are meeting. All right, where's this revenue coming from? You know, how are these people going to help us increase our revenue? What is this,
right.
you know, what are we seeing? But if we waited till all the money was in the bank and, you know, be a year from now, we have got to hire now so that we
right.
can grow exponentially.
Right. I get you. Well, I'm telling you, I have grown like a lotus flower here with you in a beautiful pond and a sea of dollar bills. Yes, ma'am. I have enjoyed you so much, Cindy Padilla. I knew this was going to be awesome sauce. Tell us and tell my brains how to get in contact with you and Jim if they want to level up and gain the edge now.
Thank you. Yeah, I think the best place for you to go is to gaintheedgenow.com/getstrategy. It just is a phenomenal page. It shares with you who we are, what we do, and how, you know, and just set up a call. Let's talk. Let's see where you are. Let's, you know, see how we can serve you. We have an immense network that we'd love to introduce you to. If there's people that, you know, would better serve you or just help you get your business, you know, propelled in the right direction, we'd love to do that for you.
Well, she is here to change the trajectory of what you're doing, and I just knew this was going to be a powerhouse conversation. I hope all of you got at least a C on your test. If not, you better go back and study. I'm looking for A-listers, okay, here on The Edge. Thank you so much, Cindy Padilla. Please come back. Keep us updated on what you're doing, how we can grow, how we can, you know, better serve you as well here on The Edge, okay?
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, Brains, I need you to go back and check out other edgy conversations all over the planet. Help me raise those numbers. Leave a comment for me and Cindy. Like her. Go in and check out her website, what she's doing, what she's talking about. I've got other great stuff coming up. We've got art and entertainment. We've got a woman's story of a terrible, terrible situation that she had to overcome coming up here on The Edge. But we got some fun stuff, too, because we've got a pop-up art show. Sage Gallen will be here with us on The Edge real soon. All right? Have a super fantastic day. Thank you so much, Cindy Padilla. You're a rock star.
Thank you.
Bye, Brains.